By the way, as we start the 4 o'clock hour, that Max Muncy sucks comment is always taken out of context the way it's now presented. The day I said it, it was because he had kicked around like 14 ground balls in one game.
Yes.
And that's what I said, Max Muncy sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean that I don't like him. I didn't mean, well,
why
I don't like him.
Are you backtracking?
Yeah, I don't like him either. I don't like him either.
He's been playing for like 2 years.
Yeah, I know it has. Because I just was thinking, you know, somebody listening, well, why did he just like totally attack Max Muncy? You know what I mean? I don't like any of the Dodgers, to be honest with you.
So
they're all kind of in that category, but Max Muncy took my wrath. But he only took it because he couldn't pick up a ground ball. That was the reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
401 now. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ella, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony in Florida, attending a 5-day soccer tournament. Tony, my thoughts are with you, pal. That's a lot of soccer. A lot of kicking the ball around, but he loves it. His kids are great at it. And
Florida's wonderful this time of year.
Being an excellent dad. Is it now?
I think so.
I must tell you that I don't find Florida to be an attractive place to go. A lot of people love Florida.
Sorry to Matt on our chat, who's
Is he from Florida?
Guy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Matt, you tell me. How's the humidity treating you there in the summer?
He's
going to
tell you that Florida stinks, like, but he's from Florida.
Okay. I mean, the humidity in Florida is disgusting. And the rest of the year, there's hurricanes. So I don't really see the draw.
And there's alligators.
Alligators.
Seriously.
You're right.
There was a golf at the golf tournament last week at the Honda Classic. Or it's not the Honda anymore. It's called the Cognizant or whatever.
All right.
I think it was Billy Horschel who had to kind of...
got eaten by a...
No, he had an alligator and he like kind of had to use his golf club to poke it.
Billy Horschel.
Which I don't think you should poke an alligator with a golf club.
You know... Under the category of dogs know 300 words.
Yes, they do.
I've heard that alligators don't bite. Only crocodiles do. But that's wrong because some lady got eaten by an alligator or something.
I know.
A while ago.
I did. For some reason, the police released the pictures, too. It's like.
Apparently, this lady thought the alligators didn't bite either until they bit her.
Hey, guess what? I'm not going anywhere near either an alligator or a crocodile.
You're not
going
to get close enough to find out. Smart thinking, Scrabe. All right, we got Chris versus the Fan, but we don't have any players. So we're going to need...
We do.
Oh, am I...
Is your thing not working again?
Yeah.
All
so,
right.
Okay, we got players. All right, we're
players.
Good to go.
Yes.
833-288-0973. I think the only way to do this, Scrabe, is we set sail here early and try to get two different winners today.
Okay.
Because we didn't get a winner yesterday. We got the Alanis Morissette tickets to give away, trip to Vegas, Chris versus the Fans. Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
I hit the wrong button.
What happened?
I hit the button to stop it instead of.
Oh, that's good enough.
Take
all right,
it out
let's
of
just
automatic.
Play ball.
Okay.
Let's just play ball.
All right,
we know the rules.
You have
give
to
us the rules.
Through three questions, each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first time player, let us know before you get into it and you'll get that question for free or the first question for free. Let me slow down a little bit. And if you win, you will be qualified for two tickets to Alanis Morissette at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace on October 24th, two-night hotel stay, October 23rd through the 25th at Flamingo Hotel and Casino, and a $100 gas card.
Can you remind everybody?
I wanted you to remind
everybody what she sings.
Thank you.
People now know.
All right, let's get started with our first contestant today. Let's go to... Let's go, Tyler.
Don't hurt yourself.
Oh! I don't know what that was, but Tyler, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Tyler.
My son from school, and he just got in the car.
Okay,
good deal.
Tell your son hello.
Tyler's a solid listener, as is Tyler's son.
All right, you ready, Tyler?
Yep, ready to go.
Okay,
let's play.
What position does Bryce Harper primarily play?
Tricky question, actually.
Vaughn says first base.
Well, you should listen to your son because that is correct.
Yeah, but he played right field for like 5 years.
Yeah, but he doesn't play there anymore.
Well, you didn't say what position does he play
primarily
now.
Primarily play.
But you didn't say now.
But he primarily plays first base.
Now. But in his career.
He got it right. We're moving on.
Yeah, move on.
Okay, question number two. What active NFL quarterback also owns a part of the Milwaukee Bucks?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is correct. Here we go.
I did not know that.
You didn't?
No.
No, yeah, that's part of it.
I don't care about any Aaron Rodgers news.
Okay. Question number three.
Real quick, before you move on.
What?
In his career, I don't have time.
Okay.
Bryce Harper, 947 games in right field, only 179 at first base.
He primarily
sounds like he primarily plays right field.
What did he play in 2024?
Then say that when you ask the question.
All right, Tyler.
Get the question right.
Who did the Atlanta Hawks draft with their number one overall pick in 2024?
The Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, who did they draft with their number one pick in 2024?
God. Tyler?
This is not easy.
No idea.
Why would you even ask the Atlanta Hawks? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why you asked the Atlanta Hawks. Because they had the number one pick in the draft. That's why you asked.
Yeah, I said, who did the Atlanta Hawks draft with their number one overall pick in 2024?
Yes, with their number one overall pick. But he was also the number one overall pick.
Oh, same thing.
It is not the same thing. A lot of teams have a number one pick.
Goodness.
Zachary Risacher from
France. What? Do you know that?
Yes, he was the number one overall pick.
I'm sorry, Tyler. I am really sorry. But that is correct. I cannot believe that.
I happen to know the number one overall pick is. I haven't heard from him since the day of the draft. Have you? Researcher?
No.
I don't know.
No. I didn't hear anything.
Wasn't all a right. good pick.
Let's go to Bill. Hello, Bill.
Well, two of the first...
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, good. We're okay, Bill, but just so you know, two of the first three questions have been faulty. So
no, they
be
have
on
not
your
been
toes.
Faulty, actually.
Be on your toes.
Take a little what? Reading and listening
Chris,
comprehension.
What?
What do you say, Bill?
Yeah, well, he said, what's new?
What's new?
Right. When I said the questions are faulty, he said,
right,
what's new?
We're going to go to another contestant. let's go
no,
to...
No, you can't do that. Can't do that. Bill is on.
Fine, Bill. You're back.
Let's go, Bill.
All right, here we go. Question number one. What player won the Heisman Trophy last year?
Faulty question.
I'm going to say Daniel, because I don't know who it is.
Jaden Daniels, he said.
Yeah.
He didn't win it.
No.
God, I can't even remember. Was this
Are you
last
serious?
Year? No, I can't remember.
Oh, my goodness. I'm, like, waiting for you to say the answer.
I told you the best questions to ask me are new stuff. I don't put it in the bank. I have to pass. I don't even have
wow.
an answer. Was it
Travis Hunter?
Yeah, it was like a month ago.
Yeah, it was in
ready.
December.
Yeah, no, I haven't put it in my collection
I
yet.
I guess I can't be too
no,
hard
that's,
on you.
That's how I am. Like you asked me, 1969 Heisman winner, I give you that one, but I can't give you this year's.
All right,
that's good for you, Bill. You move on.
Here we go, yeah. Bill. Question number two.
All right. Travis Hunter, huh?
Since we talked about Max Muncy. Max Muncy has played for two teams in his major league career. The Dodgers and what other team?
Oakland A's.
Wow, nice job.
Yeah.
Huge Max Muncy fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris.
No, it's good. Oh, you like Max Muncy. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I like him too when he's playing defense against the Padres.
Okay, here we go. Which Padres player tripled yesterday against the Giants?
Oh, boy. I didn't listen to the game. I was working, so I'll just say Merrill. I have no idea.
You are correct!
You got it!
Well,
Bill, with a win!
Bill, I almost hung up on you and you ended up winning.
Had to go, Bill. All right, put him on hold and let's
Bill,
try to get another
there.
Winner.
You got
to
stay there, Bill. You
Don't everybody
there.
Hang up. We're going to try to get a second winner today. Bill is the first.
Yep.
We have another Alanis Morissette prize and the trip to Vegas. So, Bill, stay there. On we go, Scrape. Good job, Bill, by the way.
Let's go to Eli.
Hello, all right, Eli. You're on. Hi, Eli.
Hey.
All right, you ready to play, Eli?
I'm ready.
Okay. Which of Deion's sons is expected to be drafted in this year's first round of the NFL draft?
Deion Sanders.
No. Which one of his
Which one of his sons is going to be drafted?
Shador.
I was going to say the older one. That wouldn't have
qualified. Would be Shiloh.
Oh, is he older?
I believe Shiloh's older, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
All right. Eli moves on to round two.
The last two number one overall picks in the NBA have come from what country?
France.
Yeah, France is correct.
Very good. Wembanyama and
Rashard, or whatever. Yeah. What's the guy's name from UNLV?
I said Rasacher, but I don't think that's, I don't know, that's close.
No one actually knows his real name. Hold on, I got to update a question real quick, so give me a second to make sure I have the right numbers in front of me. And then we will get to your third and final question, Eli. All right, here we go. Question number three. There are two players on the Padres tied for the most hits in spring training. Name both.
Name both?
Sorry, say that again?
Name them both, yes.
Yeah, name both, yes, yes.
Oscar Valdez and Tirso
Arneiwas? You went Tirso and Oscar.
That is correct!
Give it to him.
Wow! Under pressure of the clock, too. Eli, stay right there. Bill, stay right there.
Got two winners today. Congrats to both Bill and Eli.
This worked out so well.
Well, you listen to me. You know, I'll take you to heights you've never reached before.
Stop.
All right, we get to traffic. We're all caught up. Everything's good. Scraby wants to talk about something. Oh, no, you don't. You already did it. Never mind.
What did I talk about?
You got the golf game.
Oh, yeah. No.
Which we're still working on tweaking the rules, by the way.
Yes, we're going to have a game.
We didn't like the original rules. Ben Higgins had some complaints, and I agreed with him.
There's a Union Tribune article that I put in the doc that we'll talk about.
Oh, something that is must reading in the UT. You're right. We'll tell you about it after track. I'm Gwynn and Chris. 4:19 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Scraby's got the Chronicles coming up at 6 o'clock. He'll kick me out of the studio.
It's my favorite part of the
left
day.
To his, yeah, no kidding. My favorite part of the day, too.
When you leave?
It's kind of interesting that it worked out that way, Scrape.
You know, last night, Chris, I went on a bunch of rants. It was rant after rant after rant.
You were rolling last night?
Rant, yeah. So I hope not to rant as much tonight.
Well, you've learned from the master of rants.
You?
Me, yeah.
You do some pretty good rants, I have to say.
All right, here we go on something that I saw in the paper today. As everybody knows, Scrapey makes fun of me.
Bothers me.
I'm the only guy, like, in my neighborhood, and maybe the only person you know out there that still subscribes to the newspaper.
Here, paper boy, go and deliver your one paper.
He's got to come out of his way to deliver one paper in our neighborhood every day, and I feel bad for him. But I like having a tangible piece of paper in my hand when I sit down for my breakfast. And I like to read through.
See, I actually don't mind that. I
That's the
reason. If the paper is there, I will read the paper as I'm drinking coffee or something.
Gotcha. Yeah, I find it to be more comfortable than looking in my phone while I'm eating breakfast to have a paper there.
But
anyway, that's why we get the paper. Yeah. I saw a headline today on Tom Krasovic's article in the UT. The headline was, "Expect strong attendance figures to again push the Padres toward the postseason." Listen to it again. Expect strong attendance figures to again push the Padres toward the postseason. What I heard or read or understood while reading that was the fact that we have a good crowd at Petco Park is going to help the Padres go to the postseason. And my first thought was, huh? But then I read the article. And I got to tell you.
So you didn't just read the headline?
No, I've moved on. I read the article.
Well, that's a good thing, Chris.
Yes, if I had just read the headline, I kind of been walking around all day going, huh?
Huh?
But I read the article. And Tom Krasovic is on point in this article.
Okay.
And I have to give him, you know, credit for coming up with the way to present this in a very understandable and meaningful way. Here's what he means by the crowds at Petco Park are going to help the Padres toward the postseason.
Okay.
First of all, nothing's guaranteed. You can't guarantee they'll be in the postseason. And he's not saying that. But he's saying that they have a good shot. Why? Because they get good crowds is one big reason.
I agree.
And if you think about it in that regard, the fact that the Padres have finished the last 4 years in Major League Baseball attendance, third, second, fifth, and third, top three, three of the last 4 years in all of baseball, and the other year they were fifth. The fact that they've done that is what has, in part, boosted the organization.
Heck yeah.
To be able to spend more money.
Oh, totally.
To get better players. So, yes, the crowd does have a lot to do with the Padres' success. And here is the other point that Krasovic made that needs to be repeated to a lot of you out there. Because you and I, and Tony, when he's here, are constantly defending this point.
Okay.
The point that a lot of people make is, they raised the ticket prices and the payroll keeps going down or going up.
Or down.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
But it's okay. Actually not.
All right, let me say it again. Here's the complaint because I want to get it right.
That's a Matt Scraby sentence. Right
I know.
There.
The complaint is they raised the ticket prices and the payroll is going down. So what's up? But here's the truth. The payroll is going up $38 million this year alone. And here are more specifics. In the last 4 years, the payroll of the Padres in baseball, sixth, seventh, fifth, and third. They're in the top seven. There's 30 teams. The Padres are not in the top seven in terms of market size. But
true.
Their payroll is.
Wow.
And that is, again, what is helping them. Here is one last comparison that Tom makes in the article. And I'm, you know, Kras, great, great stuff here. The other teams that have a small market size, along with the Padres, okay?
Okay.
Down near the bottom in the National League. Along with the Padres in small market size are Rockies, Marlins, Cardinals, Pirates, Reds, Brewers. Of those teams, the Padres spend $59 million more than the Cardinals, going all the way up to $137 million more than the Marlins.
The Marlins are a joke.
I know, but my point is, that compare to the Padres, they spend far more than any of those other similar market teams.
They're the leader in the pack of the smaller market teams.
It's not even close.
Yeah, not even close.
So that is the article. If you want to read it, find out a little bit more about it, it's in the UT today, or I'm sure you can find it online. Tom Krasovic wrote it. And as I said, I read the headline. I was like, eh. But I read the story, and it makes a lot of sense. You people out there have helped make this a solid club, and you know, the ownership started by Peter Seidler carried on once they get through all of these issues. I'm sure they've given us a pretty good thing here, and I don't think we take the time to appreciate it enough.
We don't.
We complain about it a
lot.
We do.
I think now that they've spent some more money and they've brought in some more guys, we're kind of seeing things. But over the offseason, it was tough to watch all the teams in division get better. But like you said, we have to remember they already had the core. They didn't necessarily need to spend a ton of money. You know, when I go down in the clubhouse and I kind of, when I get the guts to go
and
talk to a player.
And you don't say hi to anybody?
I was going to say, when I go get the guts to actually go up to a player and talk to them, I do ask them about the fans and if, like, off the record, do the fans really help you guys? And every single one says absolutely, because when they're tired and it's a Wednesday or a Tuesday night against the A's, and they got 45,000 fans in the stadium. It brings them up. So I buy this 100%.
There's also one more thing that Kraz did not get into in the article, but it's on along the same lines of what you just said. If you ask media people around the country,
true,
and if you ask other teams in the league, what is the best atmosphere in baseball? Petco Park finishes right up there every time.
Visiting players if even
not,
talk about
if
it.
If not, first. I mean, I've heard first many times. People say, no, Petco Park is the best atmosphere in baseball, period.
There's a couple writers around the country that have told us they only
exactly.
go to the San Diego road trip.
Well, all right. So you guys get a lot of credit out there. Well done. And, you know, well done by the organization that we still complain about a lot. You know, I brought this up many times. You go back in the history of the Padres, 60 years now, 50, what is it, 1969, 55 years, right? You find me a better five-year stretch than the one they just had. Go ahead.
I can't.
You find it, let me know. All right. So anyway, read the article, check it out. Might give you a little different perspective on how you look at things.
It's still hard, but when I see the numbers in front of my face,
just
it makes
let the
it
stuff,
easier.
Let the stuff marinate for a minute, Scraby.
Okay. All right.
My goodness.
A little teriyaki sauce.
Yes, let it marinate. Think it over before you speak.
Okay. That's not good.
I know. Here comes the Big Five next on Gwynn and Chris. All right, early evening check of the scoreboard. Big one in college hoops tonight. Florida at Alabama. Right now, Florida 27, Alabama 26. Speaking of close games, Cavs going for their 12th straight win, lead Miami 26-25. First quarter. Pretty much it. Lakers are idle tonight. Clippers are home to Detroit. How's it all worked out at the new home of the Clippers? You know, I haven't heard a lot about that, Scrape.
I think it's been going really
well. Rousing success.
People like the fan wall. People like the atmosphere of the place. I should have gone to a game, or I should go to a game this year. I don't know if I'm going to make it now.
I doubt you will, unless they offer you free transportation.
The transportation I'll take care of. Give me ticket, parking and tickets.
And a meal. You like a meal.
Yeah, give me, yeah.
You're a freeloader. You got to have your meal.
Freeloading.
Yes, sir.
So
all right, Gwynn and Chris, Tony in Florida with his daughters, doing a little soccer dad stuff. Padres lose to the Rockies today, 4-3 in spring training.
Mm-mm.
Fall to 3-9. Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
But good news for the Padres, I think. Scraby agreed with me, so do most of our listeners. Infielder Jose Iglesias, 35 years old, signed today by the Padres to a minor league contract. Iglesias, last year, was a one of the heroes for the New York Mets' late season run to the NLCS. He now is a Padre, potentially.
All right, with that, we'll check.
You know, you say potentially because it's still reportedly, but Mike Schilt, like, literally.
No, but when I say potentially, he's got to make the team. That's
okay.
What I mean.
All right.
No, he's here. He's there.
Okay.
He's a minor league deal to make the team, then it gets a $3
million. Okay.
That's
all
what I'm saying potentially.
Okay.
He has to make the team.
All right.
All right, check traffic, and then hit me with a Big Five, which has Kevin Durant losing his cool, among other things.
Oh, did he? We'll find out, Chris.
Okay.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a lot to go over here, Chris, in the Big Five, but let's start with this. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Popeyes. Let Popeyes do the fishing while you enjoy our delicious seafood. Come in today for Popeyes Shrimp Tackle Box or our Flounder Fish Sandwich in classic or spicy. Get them before they're gone, legal for a limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Okay, let's get started with the person you just talked about, Chris.
Number five.
Reported Padre Jose Iglesias. Now, apparently,
is a Padre. It's just he hasn't made the big league team yet.
Apparently, OMG is a song that he made in 2024, and he performs it under the stage name Candelita. The song debuted, Chris, at number one on the Billboard Latin Digital Song Sale chart, which is pretty crazy, I gotta say.
Jose Iglesias, maybe he is related to Enrique Iglesias.
Possibly.
The rest of those guys.
Well, I'm going to put this onto the stream right now because we have a little bit of Jose Iglesias doing his thing last year.
You got the video?
I got the video of him singing after a game one day.
He over New York, man. It was the biggest deal in town for a couple of months. There he is.
Huge deal. Wait, where did it go?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I found it. Here we
go. Here we go.
Here is the song.
Oh my God. There it is. OMG.
I'm into this. This is good stuff.
Oh my God.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I wish everybody just saw Chris put his hands in the air. And
crowd's,
the,
going, crowd's going crazy.
His teammates are going crazy.
Jose Iglesias, man. He's a hero in New York.
This dude is a performer.
Look out. Look out.
Harrison Bader's coming up from the back.
Jorge Alfaro may his LF.
What? Oh, LFGSD.
Yeah, that may be maybe under siege from OMG.
All right.
West Coast style.
So there you go.
Good job, Jose.
I am really impressed by this. Quite honestly, I knew what the OMG thing was last year. Didn't really pay attention to much.
You didn't know that Jose Iglesias was the guy behind it.
No. I knew of the song, didn't know any of this. But I think it's pretty awesome because he actually is good at singing. So my question is this, Chris. We've had the swag chain and the Mets had OMG.
Yeah.
Would you rather a song or an object for your good luck charm?
Well, here's the problem. First of all, I like both. The song seems like more people can get in on it.
Yeah.
Whereas the swag chain, not everyone's going to have a swag chain.
Yeah, it's too easy to go, oh my.
But everybody can get in on a song, so maybe that's a little more inclusive. I don't know that the Padres can get OMG, though. They're going to have to come up with something. You can't just take it from the Mets and now make it a Padre.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Julio, or I called him
Julio Iglesias.
Jose Iglesias.
Yeah. He's going to have to come up with a whole new song for the Padres.
If he goes and does another number one song, I don't think he cares if he comes up with another song.
Yeah, if he can do something that good for the Padres, then can take over the town for sure.
I will
but
say,
I don't think that the OMG can become the Padres thing.
I didn't.
No, I'm just saying to everyone out there. We can't have it.
No, I agree.
It's too much Mets.
Too much Mets.
Yeah.
The swag chain is buried deep under the ocean.
I don't understand. I think the swag chain should have stayed, and I think we should still have the swag chain.
It kind of became bad luck.
Well, that's too bad because we should have turned it back around. The fact of the matter is every team in baseball does something silly now after a home run, and the Padres started that, and now what started that is gone. I don't like that.
I'm with you on that.
Every team does something.
Yeah,
right.
They do.
When they hit a home run,
you have a straw hat. You have you have
but
a Triton if you're a Mariner,
and they all pale in comparison to the original swag chain, and the guy spinning it and the whole thing.
Yeah,
I miss it. I really do.
My favorite swag chain moment would be Daniel Camarena.
Well, that was a hell of a moment.
And I can remember Tony on the broadcast saying, the swag chain spinning, folks.
It was.
I would much rather have a song, though, because you're right. I want a concert after the game, after a big Padres win. Jose Iglesias singing the Padres song on the field.
Enrique Iglesias.
With Enrique Iglesias. All right.
Number four.
LeBron James. I give him a hard time. Not as much as you guys lead on, but he last night became the first player in NBA history to score 50,000 combined points between the playoffs and the regular season.
50,000.
50,000.
That's a hefty amount.
That's a hefty amount. Now, I am going to go first. Question is, how close is he to being the actual GOAT? I think he's there.
You think he's there now?
I don't think you can do as much as LeBron has done over the 20 years and not be called the GOAT. Even if he hasn't won as many championships as Michael Jordan, he holds all the records. He's playing much longer than Michael Jordan did. And he is still playing great basketball at the age of 40. And he's going to continue to get better. They have a good team now. They're going to make the playoffs this year, Chris. He could win another finals this year. I think he's already taken the GOAT spot.
You think he's number one?
I do.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. and you just, that's not unfair for you to think that. I really don't think you saw Jordan, you know. How old were you in 86?
One.
That's the answer. See, you 85, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's even before he won a championship, and he was unbelievable with the stuff he could do out there. Then he started winning all the championships. Jordan's going to be the guy. But LeBron, 50,000 is not joking around.
No.
It deserves, you know, to be mentioned. Michael Jordan, I'm trying to find it here.
Career points.
Scored 32,000 points. And then I'd have to go through the postseason and see exactly how many he had there. But you get my drift. He's got it. 50,000's way up there. But the one thing that will stand the test of time is that only four players in the history of the NBA have ever won the MVP award, the scoring title, the championship.
In one season?
The finals MVP.
Okay.
And then also been first team all defense in the same season. Only four guys. Those four guys, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan.
It's easy when you cherry pick a stat that fits your narrative.
That's a hell of a stat, though.
Okay, fine. But did he score 50,000 points? No, he didn't.
He didn't play long enough to score 50,000 points.
Exactly. That's why LeBron's the GOAT, because he's still playing at the top of his game.
Scoring average, Michael Jordan has more points per game than LeBron James.
That's because LeBron James has played more games.
What?
Have they played? Has he? He's got to have played more games than Jordan at this
yes,
point.
Yes, of course he has.
So he has more opportunities to score less than his average, to bring down the average.
God.
I know I'm trying to reach here on that one.
You're reaching a little. If you would have been there in the 80s and, you know, you 90s. Or
I grew up in a family that was from Chicago, big old Bulls fans. I had a Michael Jordan jersey growing up, Chris.
Hmm.
I think this will never be solved.
I really don't even think it's a question.
It's a generational thing.
I do, but I think LeBron James belongs on the all first team without question. The top, you know, your first team all NBA for history. LeBron's there. I think there's some people that don't even think he belongs on that. He certainly belongs on that. But it's going to be tough to beat out Jordan.
All right. Let's move to the next one.
Move on.
Number three.
Last night, the Suns were playing the Clippers, and cameras caught an interaction between KD, Kevin Durant, and Suns head coach Mike Budenholzer, where Kevin Durant was walking by him and after a timeout, and the coach grabbed his arm, and KD kind of yanked it out of the way as he kept walking. Well, the media sounded the alarm on this and immediately asked the question, is there trouble brewing in Phoenix? And here is what KD said about the interaction.
Yeah, that's what usually happens when you don't know the dynamics of a relationship. You know, you catch something on TV, you get a quote, and now you pushing that narrative as if me and Bud don't do all the time. We competitive as two individuals who want to see things done the right way. And sometimes my way ain't the way that Bud want to do it, and vice versa. And he allows me as a player on the team, a veteran on the team, to voice my opinion. If we both didn't care, we would never have stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that the win is going to sweep all of that stupid stuff under the rug, because people couldn't wait. Even some people in Phoenix in here couldn't wait to run with that, you know, and say, oh, this is the reason why the team ain't playing well, because of that specific thing. But come on, man. That shows that me and Bud really care about trying to write.
All right. There we go.
We got you, KD.
Yes, we got you. So
he pushed him on the way to the bench.
No, he didn't even do that.
He grabbed him.
He just moved his arm up. There was no, gotcha. There was no like defensiveness to it at all. Although KD was just like, get my arm.
What's your
out
question?
Of your hand. Blah, 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 blah. Do you buy this?
Yes. Because I saw the rest of the video. And right after it was over, Kevin Durant turned around and went back up to Bud or Budenholzer,
yeah,
and said, hey, we're cool. And Budenholzer said, yeah, on we go.
We move on.
So this was, you know, a lot of people showed, you know, one instance of the video, the actual grabbing of the arm. Then they cut the whole video and didn't show the rest of it. So
yeah,
this
of course.
Is, you know,
you
be
heard
careful
it.
What you watch.
You heard what he said.
Not what he said,
said
is right.
He said that the media couldn't wait to run with this narrative, yeah, which yeah. I do think is...
Not only that, brothers, you know, in battle, fight amongst themselves often. There's nothing wrong with it. It usually leads to a good result down the road.
Yeah, so, a couple months ago, Tony and I were screaming at each other, and we were in break, and then we came back from break, and everything was fine. It was fine. Seriously, like, we fight, and I fight off the air sometimes. Everything's good.
Stop comparing yourself to, you know.
Kevin Durant and Budenholzer?
Yeah, you could be Budenholzer, except he looks like Craig.
He does look like Craig Elston.
He does.
That is a good
Budenholzer
point.
Budenholzer and Craig Elston are almost identical.
That is a good point. I forgot about that. Everybody look up a Budenholzer photo and then look up a Craig Elston photo.
Yeah, maybe not the, you know, it might have to be Craig from 3 or 4 years ago. Got a little more hair going on.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I don't mean it that way. Budenholzer wears his hair longer than Craig does.
Budenholzer does have long hair, for sure.
No, but Craig used to wear his hair a little longer, so that's what I meant by that.
Okay, all right. Just like how you meant I wasn't
Move
fat
on.
The other day.
Just get out of this.
I was reading about the Sacramento A's last night, and it was an opinion from one of the writers at the Sacramento Bee. They were saying that the lack of want to attach themselves to Sacramento, even if it's for 3 years, is disrespectful to the city and to all the people who had to work to make this happen. They haven't even posted anything on social media about their new home, and they refuse to have the name Sacramento put in their name. So I'm up first. Is it disrespectful to the city of Sacramento? The A's won't recognize the city as their temporary home. Absolutely, this is disrespectful.
Oh, you're upset.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, there's fire coming out of your nostrils.
I cannot stand John Fisher. He is the worst.
You do hate him.
And he's on the MLB Executive Committee. You know what, A's? No one wants you. Sacramento took you. Why don't you be a little nicer to them? This whole A's thing has made me so angry because of the family and friends I grew up with that are hardcore A's fans. And now they move out of Oakland, refuse to be called Sacramento, just so people don't... I don't know what they're doing that for. This is really, really bad. Chris?
I'm not going to yell that loud, but I agree. Sacramento took them in. Saved them.
Changed their entire stadium around.
Saved them. Sacramento saved the A's. The A's were... The whole deal was about to collapse completely. Right?
Fisher wanted
out of Oakland, into Las Vegas. Las Vegas had all these delays for this, that, and the other reason, like normally happens. They needed, you know, something to save the day. Sacramento saved the day.
Stepped up.
For 2 years, right? Is it 2 years?
Three.
Sacramento saved the day. So the A's, the least they could have done is allowed themselves to be called the Sacramento A's. And I'm, from this moment forward.
We will call them the Sacramento A's.
I'm not even calling them A's.
Sacramento?
Just Sacramento. I'm not even going to mention the name Athletics because that's what they want to be known as. Like, when they come to... the Padres go there. But I'm just saying, when they go on the road, they want it to say San Diego on the scoreboard and then Athletics.
Not
going to
happen.
No!
We're going SAC.
You're not just the Athletics. There's no such team in any sport that doesn't mention a city name or state name with it, do they? Ladies and gentlemen...
Well, some of the FCs or some of the MLS teams, but in baseball, they all have cities.
What do you mean? Every MLS
well, I guess
team
New
is
England,
FC
I
this,
guess New
FC
England,
that.
New England Patriots. New England's not really a city.
No, but that's the representation area of, you know, the team. They're not, it's not, ladies and gentlemen, the Patriots.
No, it's New England Patriots.
Thank you.
Okay.
So you don't get be the Athletics.
All right.
So I'm yelling now. I didn't think I would, but I am. I'm upset, too.
Yeah. Thank you for being on my show.
Number one.
We talked about Fred Couples' comments on Brooks Koepka apparently wanting to return to the PGA Tour yesterday. Well, Phil Mickelson was not happy with Freddie Boom Boom. After hearing what Couples said, Mickelson tweeted a reply, quote, "If it's not true, he damaged a relationship which he cares about. If it is true, he took away Brooks' control of the timeline and narrative. Either way, this is a low-class jerk move by Fred," end quote. Mickelson later deleted the tweet, which I don't ever understand.
Mickelson got into Fred Couples and then took it off.
And deleted.
Really?
So my question for you, Chris, do you think Mickelson actually cares about this Brooks Koepka thing, or do you feel like he thinks Liv is falling apart?
I hope he feels that Liv's falling apart. And I'm a Phil fan, but
yeah,
you know
too.
I'm a Liv hater. And I always
Phil
will be.
caused a lot of it to happen.
Maybe he does recognize that it's slipping away. By putting that post in, he was like, I'm gonna let them know, but then he realized how much many of us would know now that he you know, is worried about losing it. Yeah.
But once you tweet something, Phil, it's out there forever.
Yeah.
Someone screenshotted that. That's the reason I have this tweet.
The guy you hate, Brooks Koepka, is going to save the history of golf by coming back.
That's not even a lie. It could be true, which is insane.
100% truth. Happy hours next on Gwynn and Chris.